Next item, 1073, please.
1073, authorized financing in an amount not to exceed $3,213,319 for the redevelopment of the Oak Leaf Mobile Home Park.
Welcome back, Director Callahan.
Good morning, Mayor. Shannon Callahan of the Portland Housing Bureau. This morning, I'm happy to be joined by Laura Bennett and Heather Budge of the St. Vincent de Paul Society of Lane County. Hold on just a second. I'm trying to bring up my PowerPoint again. As some of you may remember, in June of 2016, the Oak Leaf residents of the Oak Leaf Mobile Home Park came to this council to talk about their distress at their park being sold and the desire to ask for help from City Council to help them retain this important asset, both for their stability and for the stability of the surrounding Cully community. The specific request at the time was a $1.5 to $6 million request to help with the purchase of the property from the park that was about to be sold to a private market developer. The park itself consisted of over 35 units at the time, and the park was in, frankly, very bad disrepair. You'll hear quite a bit about the situation at the park in the from St. Vincent de Paul themselves. But we as the Housing Bureau, took on this project, realizing that it was important to not only save these residents, but have our first experience in the mobile home park preservation. This was the first time the Portland Housing Bureau had attempted to work on this financing. The mobile home park now the costs are exceeding what we had originally estimated at $1.6 million. You'll hear a lot more, as I said, about the structure of the park and the issues, but quite frankly, almost every single part of the infrastructure of the park needed complete replacement or repair. Meaning the sewer was bad, the stormwater was bad, the electrical was bad, the units that people were living in, virtually almost all of them were unsafe and unsanitary, and quite frankly, should not have been, people should not have been living in those conditions for as long as they were living in those conditions. That said, these were still people's homes, and they still felt a strong sense of community, which is why we took the extra time and took extra money to make sure that this park would work. I will say that one of the major struggles was to find an operator of the park. We did not have a nonprofit working in Portland specifically on mobile home park rental preservation, but thankfully St. Vincent de Paul of Lane County had experience in this and was willing to come and work with us in the city of Portland and step in to help us learn how to do a new model. And we're very, very grateful for that. Just to give you a brief sense of the present mix of the park's residents, they are currently at low income levels. The majority of them are under 30% MFI, and their rents are currently affordable to those families. As I mentioned, the park initially had 34 spaces, but due to a variety of different factors, including the fact that there were just too many units crammed on the site, we reduced that number to 22. So the park is actually going to be run correctly and not having people, literally units crammed next to each other in unsafe and unsanitary ways. And again, here's a little bit of information for you about why the initial costs were so high.
I'm assuming you didn't turf anybody out. I mean, you didn't ask to reduce the number. How did you get from the number?
I think St. Vincent Paul can talk with you because they intimately know the details of every tenant. But no one was relocated unless they had a request to be relocated. And it's been quite the process to work with existing tenants in a park while you're trying to do sewer and infrastructure improvements and yet keep people in a place that they are safe. And so with that, I would just like to mention, finally, that one of the most challenging things about mobile home parks for us is the lack of ability to leverage any funds. Mobile homes themselves are not a financeable asset in the way that you would consider a traditional home to be financed. And so it makes us, it makes the ability to leverage funds much more difficult. That said, St. Vincent de Paul, in collaboration with a lot of partners, have brought a lot of leverage to the table. You know, I think we will be seeing more desire for us to work in an area related to mobile home park preservation, and our staff is prepared in the next year to bring you some recommendations about how we would structure those and ways of going about that. As you know, the overlay that you recently passed for mobile home parks is currently in place, but there are a number of parks presently that are being offered for sale on the private market. So with that, I am going to open, I'm going to turn it over to St. Vincent de Paul. And would you like me to pull your PowerPoint up at this point?
Yes, please.
Okay, would you turn that off just for a moment, because I'm struggling to find it on the...
Hello, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Heather Buck. I'm Special Projects Director for St. Vincent de Paul. Part of what I've been tasked with for the last 8 or 9 years is the renovation of extremely distressed mobile home parks, primarily in Lane County. When we were asked to come up here to Portland to take a look at this particular park, we welcomed the opportunity to share our knowledge and information about this naturally affordable, reoccurring affordable housing stock. We now have 8 parks in which we have done complete renovations for. We have one more in addition to Oakleaf that's actually in progress. I'm here mainly to respond to questions for you, but we did want to convey that this particular park has actually been one of the most complicated. We really target the most troubled parks in Oregon because of their impact on the surrounding community. We believe that what we provide in services and infrastructure and knowledge on this particular style of housing is incredibly beneficial for the rest of the community. Mainly, these parks house people that would otherwise be on the street. And they really are in substandard housing, but it is housing of some sort. We want to bring that to a higher level, and we are here today to ask for your support. It's been very complicated because of all the different entities that we coordinate together and just the lack of infrastructure in the site. Normally we come into the parks and do some capital improvements. A new community center, some new roads, but this one was actually a park where we have to start from scratch and also make sure that we don't displace anybody that's currently living there. It did start with 34 spaces, but due to several planning requirements, we had to reduce the space number of spaces to make them clean and safe and also have the correct setbacks so that emergency vehicles can get in and service the place as well. This is not uncommon. Most older parks do have far more houses in there than they should, just because of the lack of monitoring of these particular parks. We're here to help the City of Portland in any way we can regarding this particular housing stock. We look forward to working with more, and I'm available for any questions, should you have any.
I have a couple of questions. To what extent, I mean, so the replacement units that we would purchase, the mobile homes, where are they being, who are they being purchased from, and to what extent are we trying to capture some alignment with modular housing being built in the state of Oregon?
So we have a handful of park-owned units that we've pretty much all had to tear down, and some others that are tenant-owned. And those that are tenant-owned are allowed to keep them. We move them to the side while we're doing our work. For the new homes, we work with a private manufacturer, Golden Pacific. They have a particular floor plan that have been very well utilized for small spaces in many of our other parks, and we've developed a relationship with them over the years to make sure that we have quality housing and fit as many units in a space that we can.
Where are they located?
They have a Portland office, just outside of Portland, up here, and we work through a sales entity that works with that manufacturer.
But what about sort of aligning ourselves with Oregon manufacturers? I mean, there's a lot of work going on. The Bureau is particularly interested in modular housing and bringing down the price per unit. Can we be more intentional in that regard?
I am in many of those groups and forums with the other manufacturers and other providers in the state of Oregon. Modular housing is actually more expensive than manufactured housing, and there are fewer providers for them. We look forward to trying to develop that industry as well, because we want to have high-quality homes, but the manufacturing housing industry also has some very good quality homes at a lower price point, so we can actually do more projects.
But Commissioner, I think you've raised a really good question and point that, we've indicated, I think we'd like to look into more and more. This was the first park that we have done in the city of Portland, and it has definitely been a learning lesson for everybody involved. And we would like to try to incent these parks going forward with more local local products, and thank you for that
so
suggestion.
So, Director Callahan, another question is, in light of the distress that we've identified in terms of the condition of the units and the basic infrastructure on the site, is there anything we've learned now that in hindsight would have impacted the price we paid to acquire the site?
Yes, I think so. I think also there is a question, this was a very important park to the residents and the community members. This was probably one of the more expensive parks you'll see us do, as you've just heard. We had no idea that how bad the sewer systems were, and those were some things that I can use the word cesspool about what was happening at the Oak Leaf, which was not known to us. Originally, this park was planned to be an owner cooperative park, but based on the fact that the actual amount of money that would be needed to upgrade this park, we realized very quickly that the existing tenants of the Oak Leaf Park would not be able to finance that themselves under the traditional cooperative model. But yes, we've learned a lot of lessons from this park, including, I think, getting a better sense of what we're getting into up front.
And the funding that we're being asked to approve today is mostly community development block grant money?
Yes.
So that's a precious commodity of which we have a scarce amount. Why did you settle on CDBG versus other potential funding sources?
Commissioner, I'm sure aware, most of our funding sources are still geographically tied, with the exception of the new construction excise tax as well as the Portland Housing Bond. The other two sources of citywide funds we have are both federal sources. At the time that we made this commitment to the project in 2016, the Housing Bond had yet to materialize, and CET, construction excise tax, had not yet gone into place to develop enough funding. So our original commitment was with CDBG. As I've said, this park has exceeded our original cost estimates, but we felt that we at the Housing Bureau had made a commitment to the residents as well as to City Council to work on the preservation of this park. And St. Vincent de Paul stepped in very early on to help us. Even though our cost per unit is a little higher than we'd normally see, these are units that house folks that but for would truly be on the street. There are many people in this park who are not There are many residents of mobile home parks that are not as successful in traditional multifamily developments. Had we known at the beginning of the price when we went in, we may have made a different decision. But as this was our first park, we learned a lot along the way, and we have a lot of lessons that, in collaboration with our partners, we can bring to the to our next work in this area.
Thank you.
So, Director Callahan, would you say the main lesson learned here? A commitment was made in 2016, and obviously it was made in good faith to the community and the residents. And this is a very low-income population we're talking about, as you just said. But for their ability to maintain this housing, they would very possibly end up on the streets. But that we really didn't do the detailed level of due diligence in advance, particularly on the infrastructure. So is the lesson that we need to do more of that due diligence before we make a commitment to the community?
I would say that it is partially that, yes, but I also think that as this was our first project, we did not know the extent of what we didn't know. And this project has taught us a lot, and I think it will help us in deciding deciding how we move forward with Mobile Home Park Preservation Acts in the City of Portland. I will also say that this was probably, in everybody's minds, one of the worst-run parks in the City of Portland at the time in terms of the maintenance and infrastructure, and there were some things that we did know at the outset and some we didn't. But yes, Mayor, we've learned a lot from this park and how we would choose to make investments going forward.
So in 2016, we made this commitment, and I want to be very clear, while I'm not particularly happy about the way it's unfolded, this commitment was made, and I think we have an obligation to uphold that commitment. But there's another piece to this, too, which is that the park was allowed to deteriorate to the condition that you described in a particular way. I'm not going to use the word because, frankly, I've just eliminated it from my vocabulary. But it feels like there's a lesson learned in terms of the deal, the transaction, in terms of due diligence that maybe could have been conducted in 2016. But there's also the question of how did the park get to the point where people were living without basic utilities that were functional? And that's not really your specific portfolio, but it's all of our responsibility to take a good hard look at that and ask the question, have we repaired that part of the question, that part of the equation?
Mayor, I don't believe that we have fully repaired that part of the question. There are always issues with how to enforce and when to enforce with the Bureau of Development Services and how to work with park owners or property owners. This was a park, honestly, of last resort for many individuals. There were many things in the park that you would not even consider to be a mobile home. Were literally kind of more like little teeny trailers, et cetera. Very old, being rented at really substandard conditions with very high rents. So I think that, you know, the city does their best to try to figure out the balance of when to enforce their requirements. And I don't know that any of us knew the extent of how bad the park was until we actually got into the park were able to see some of the homes from themselves. Because these are individually owned units. They are not they were not rentals. Mobile home parks are a unique creature, as it were, in the housing market, where the pad space is normally rented, but the homes themselves are individually owned. And so there are a lot of unique challenges regarding mobile home park preservation going forward.
Thank you.
So I guess so will the new homes be owned by the residents or owned by us?
They'll be owned by the park. The new homes that are purchased for the spaces will be owned by the park, and then the handful of ones that are owned by the tenants will continue to be owned by the tenants and just placed on new updated pads.
And when you say owned by the park, who is the owner? Is that us, the city?
That would be St. Vincent de Paul as the developer.
St. Vincent. Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Does that complete your presentation?
Yes.
Very good. Is there a public testimony on this item, Carl?
Yes, we have five people signed up.
Very good.
The first three are Joe Walsh, Lightning Super Creativity, Catherine Baker. Is Catherine Baker here?
Go ahead and start. Thank you.
I'm going to go. My name is Joe Walsh. I'm going to stand because I'm having some problems. this is the only case that I know of that you have a trail court that's a mess. And we're going to redevelop it and buy it. And we made huge mistakes along the way. So we're saying, okay, this is a good thing because it's low income, $17,000 to $50,000 according to your paperwork, which means it'll exclude everybody on the street. It has nothing to do with them. It has to do with people that are living there, I presume. The question that came up, and I'm not sure, when I raised my thumb, I thought you asked the question, Commissioner Fish, of who owned the property before this? Who did we buy it from? And what responsibility do they have for the mess? I mean, when you go in and sell a house, it's evaluated. Didn't we do an evaluation on this? This is $3 million. You know, I don't spend that on lunch. It's a lot of money to me. I don't know if it is to you. I guess if it's not yours, maybe not. This is a screwed up job, and everybody is saying how wonderful it is. It is not wonderful. And if you do this the way you're planning to do it, you're going to leave low-income people all by themselves. And if we learn anything from the projects of New York and Chicago and anywhere else that they built them, you can't do that. You have to intermingle people. Don't do this. If you say $17,000 to $50,000, my retirement is only $35,000, so I would qualify for this, I guess. But how are you going to keep this place up and running? What you guys do is spend the money and walk away all the time. We see it over and over and over again. You spend the money on a nonprofit and you walk away. And a nonprofit screw it up. Then they come back for more money. I can't believe my 3 minutes is not up. Carry on. We object to this officially.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Creativity XXPDX1. Again, to St. Vincent's de Paul, I look at you kind of like China on the trade agreements. We had people doing those agreements that really didn't protect the interests of the people. Now, here's what I'm going to say. I don't have an issue with St. Vincent de Paul. I want to ask, is this financing going to be paid back, which I assume it's not. It's a block grant. Okay, so you, obviously you know you have an issue with me on that, where the financing came from. Issue number two, we're about $5,200,000 overall project. That, my understanding, puts us up to about a $240,000 per unit valuation, if I'm correct. Again, you get down to the numbers and you start to say to yourself, and I say this all the time, and I've said this before to you, Commissioner Salzman, build new. Build new. When it starts to cost you as much money to renovate something, you want to build new. Again, why I've been stating this, you create jobs. You build everything up to ADA standards. You build everything new. So you're employing the people in the community, you're buying materials in the community, and you're getting something new, which is going to have much more longevity than renovating something. Now, here, if we start looking at this again, and we're talking these bonds, and I hope people will listen on this, we're looking at this project of being downsized to 22 units, downsized. Now, this is where it gets interesting. There's only going to be five of the remaining people that will stay in this park. Five of the remaining, because they're going to buy all brand new units, and they're going to rent those out at 60% and above MFI. So when you're talking preserving and taking care of the current people that were currently there, we missed the mark. We missed the mark so bad you can't even begin to understand. And Commissioner Fritz, I'm going to point at you on this one, because I think you really wanted to see something happen on this property. You've done your nice little new park over there, and you wanted that community input that you wanted to save this park. Guess what? Build new. Build something new. Build something that will last. Build some family-sized units. Build something that creates jobs in the community. Build something that actually has longevity for many, many years. And again, like I say, this is well over the budget, well overpriced. And if anybody in the investment community, anybody out there, even you, Donald Trump, and I know you know a lot more than I do, trust me, I already know that, find me a mobile home park in Northeast Portland that it's going to be $5,200,000 for 22 units. Anybody find me one out there? Isn't going to happen. Congratulations. We made history. Highest priced park in Northeast Portland. Congratulations, public. It's your money. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. My name's Ida Catherion, and my goodness. Okay, I lived in one of these places before, to my chagrin. Not this particular place, but yes, they're always in disrepair unless they're absolutely brand new. And I don't even know where to go with this except to say that if improvements are made, there, of course, it's going to cost more money. And it can create more jobs, and it better create more jobs within this area. But the thing is that any sort of improvement that's made there, the rent's going to go up. It actually is going to not really achieve what the idea or the so-called hopeful idea might be, which is to house more people. Yeah, it may house more people, but still in a substandard way, and the rent will go up. Oh, Lord. Okay, I really wanted to start this piece by saying, by quoting a person that is alive no more, named William Blake. You might have heard his name before. He said, vox populi, vis vox Deus. Do you guys understand the translation? It means the voice of the people is the voice of God. Okay? Anyway, beyond that, yes, we need more places for people to live that are affordable, that are safe, that are clean, that the sewers that are taken care of, that are monitored, things that are monitored. Just because it's low-income people or you know, not the right part of town or whatever, these places need to be monitored, they need to be kept up, and they need to be accountable, just like me, just like you guys, in whatever we do. And there's a lot of manpower, people power out there that we can, and there's a lot of people that are very willing to help make these things work. And accountability is very important in every aspect of all this, whether it be a new court, whether it be an old court, and upkeep, yeah, that's really important too. But it doesn't happen as much. Upkeep and you know, accountability with things like sewers and, you know, sanitary systems and running water and electrical. These places aren't kept up like that and aren't monitored typically and historically. Oh, Dan, don't fall asleep yet. Because they're low-rent places. Most people don't care. They just kind of want to put people in these places and say, yeah, their house is good. So what if the toilets aren't working? And so what if they don't have running water? It's just part of it. But thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, I have a question for Shannon.
The last two who signed up are Maggie and Charles Crane Johnson. You signed up on 1074.
Come on up, Sarah.
You're not on here.
Okay, first I want to say how much I love Joe Walsh and Lightning and Charles for coming every week. And second of all, I want to say how much I approve the idea of preserving these low-income places like mobile home parks because, and I want to talk about that due diligence and about the not knowing what they did not know. That sounds like very Ollie North talk there. Ted, I bet you didn't know you were going to be Portland slumlord when you hired on to be mayor. And yet, that's what you are. So what I want to say is this is a good idea to take these units and either give new units or fix them up, or how about allowing tiny homes in these mobile parks? Because I have priced out 10x20 Sherway units with solar panels for the electricity, with two hot water tanks, one for the bathroom and one for the kitchen, hooked up to these solar panels, and very expensive composting toilets at $8,000. Okay, unassembled, not like Emmett, that guy Emmett who wanted to do those 40,000 units in or $40,000 units. He's up in Seattle right now, and he's got a $12 million grant to house 72 people. I'm saying you could do units with solar panels, with very expensive composting toilets that only need to be cleaned out once or twice a year for $8,000. And that's like with a wraparound porch, 10x20, raised roof, loft for the bed unless they're disabled, and then they can have it, you know, all one level. And you could do that for $8,000 per unit. What is that? That's like just to, okay, that is unassembled. So you would have to have volunteers from, say, Lowe's, from Home Depot, from Habitat Humanity come in and, you know, assemble these units. But I'm talking about that's including the solar panels. That's including the hot water. That's including the smoke detectors, the sinks, the fire extinguishers, everything, soup to nuts, $8,000 a unit, unassembled. Now, I realize that guy who went up to Seattle, he wanted to do them $40,000, and he wanted to assemble them and then put them there. But I think we could get volunteers to have these things up in no time. And when you're talking about the fact that you don't have to have an elevator, you don't have to have a sewer, you would have to have a gray water system. Well, okay, from the kitchen sink, from the shower, okay, you can just go directly into the sewer. Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate right. it. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. But it's probably not me who should be sitting here at this table. It should probably be Tracy Reeve, city attorney, explaining why we didn't do what we were supposed to do, which is sue the piece of crap assholes that you bought this property from.
Okay, just a reminder, we have an FCC requirement here. Let's keep it clean.
So this is the city that works hard to overpay predatory poverty pimps. You're going to buy the flea bag, bed-ridden, bed bug infested West Wind Apartments and reward that scumbag slumlord with a big chunk of city cash or managed through the county. You rewarded the predatory pimp who did disgusting things to the people that were residents at this property. And now I want my $119,000. That's if we spread that out over the 27 units. But really, we're just paying for 22. So I actually want $146,000.59. I guess I'll have to go file a lawsuit over in the federal court against you and Tracy Reeves to get it. And then I'll put up 22 trailers. So these people, the city made a commitment. I understand why you're going to approve yes on this, but you're not going to, doesn't sound, you did ask a couple of good questions, Ted, about what we have learned from this. It's a very expensive lesson. There should be an after-action report on how we screwed this up, where the original 35 people went, how many are dead or suicided or taking up space in other public housing units. Mr. Fish, you asked about Golden Pacific. Apparently, we think these trailers are made maybe in Northern California. They do have two offices, Milwaukee and I think Tigard or one of the T-towns, Tualatin, something like that. So there is some keeping the money circulating through the Oregon economy. But, you know, maybe we should have gone with modular housing at a higher price for this welfare project. I mean, we've had Catholic Charities manage the Kenton Women's Village. 12 people, almost half as many as here. I don't think we did $119,000 expenditure per woman in the Kenton Women's Village, but we should have. So please know that I'll be this obnoxious and worse until the report comes out and talks about the lessons learned and the actual lives that were impacted. 35 original residents. Now we're going down to just 27 spaces. 5 of the original owners. I don't want to say jackpot because these are people that have been through some trauma in their lives. And hopefully our friends from down in DeFazio land, Mr. DeFazio's constituents there in Eugene and Lane County, are excellent people. The St. Vincent de Paul Society locally does some good work. But when we have tens of thousands of people, or maybe only 9,000 people, sleeping outdoors every night on a limited budget, we could have done better. We know this started under the previous mayoral administration, and you've had a lot of distractions. I appreciate your tone that you like. Maybe you wish you'd had a little tighter oversight on this or better outcomes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Does that complete public testimony?
I think he meant exploitation.
That's all we signed
up. Very good. Was there any further questions? Commissioner Fish had a couple of questions for Director Callahan. Welcome back.
Yeah, I have two questions. We had some testimony about who we're serving at this location, and mm-hmm. and we did fill the chambers with people that urged us to acquire the site when it was at risk. They were at risk of being displaced. Have we tracked what's happening, what's happened to the existing tenants?
Yes. We are working with a number of the existing tenants in the park themselves. Five of them were owner-occupied units, meaning they were actually the owners of their coach, their mobile home. And so those are the ones that are getting moved over to the side. When you have a mobile home loan, it's a commercial loan, not the type of loan that you would think of when you are a homeowner where you have a 30-year mortgage and interest terms. You're actually on a general loan that one would think of more for an automobile. And so the loan terms are not as favorable as a home mortgage. There are a variety of different factors. It is really hard to sell these coaches once you own them because, quite frankly, they depreciate so quickly over time. Those owners are being taken care of, and we also have additional residents that are remaining in the park that will be moved into new units that will be owned by St. Vincent de Paul themselves. So, yes, we are tracking that, Commissioner.
And my second question is, you know, in terms of what we've learned here, at what point do the costs of redeveloping as a mobile home park reach a point where it's in our best interest to consider other kinds of redevelopment, including multifamily?
I believe that this park is a very good example of a potential situation where a different development type would have been more cost effective and provided more density on the project. That said, at the time, this council was faced with a lot of different members of this mobile home park who do have loans on these homes. So when a park closes, they're essentially left homeless and even more in debt with their initial coach. I would not, if I had the benefit of hindsight on this project, I would not recommend this one as one to go forward with. I will say that I agree with Mr. Johnson, and the staff is preparing an after-action report on this project, as well as some guidance, because I believe that we will be called upon more and more in the future to look at mobile home park preservations, especially as the design overlay or the changes in zoning have gone into effect. A number of parks are now, as I mentioned, for sale. I will say that this park was not purchased by the city. This park was initially intended to be purchased by the owners themselves, the owners of the coaches, in a cooperative home ownership model. And at the time, this property had actually initially been sold to another developer, and the park residents were able to use a variety of different tactics available to them through state law to get the rights to actually purchase this property. So just to clear up a few issues, but yes, Commissioner, I think that in hindsight, this would not have been a good park to necessarily invest in the way that we have invested. That said, I think there are a lot of lessons learned for us going forward, and this was the very first time we'd ever done a mobile home park preservation in the city of Portland.
Thank you.
I have some questions.
Commissioner Daly.
Thank you. So I'm still a little confused because we've reduced the number of units, mm-hmm. and not everyone who was living in the park is still there. So was anyone involuntarily displaced, or did they lose their housing as a result of this development?
No one has been involuntarily displaced. Many residents actually requested to move to other areas. And those residents were primarily ones who were renting the actual pads and homes attached to those pads or spaces. Everyone who's asked to remain, St. Vincent de Paul is working with them to remain, including the owners of the five coaches themselves. And instead of replacing those coaches, they're working to do weatherization and other improvements to make sure that there are no leaks, that they're habitable, that their electricity is safe. So there is a large amount of work going on, but no one was displaced involuntarily.
And a couple points of clarity for the public. It's going to provide space for 22 mobile homes, correct?
Yes.
Do you know roughly how many people will be housed? Because I think there's an impression that only 22 people will live there, and I'm assuming it's going to be double that or more. About 60?
About 60.
Okay. And also, to be clear, I do think this is an extraordinary amount of money to put in to a property of this nature and share regrets and frustrations, but between the city and the developer, we're not spending $5 million on 22 mobile homes. We're spending that on roads, sewer, community center. Is that correct?
Yes, and trying to make sure that we also have the service space and the space for these families and the kids that are living in these parks to actually have the type of services that they need to be successful. This park will be regulated for the next 99 years. It is not a short-term investment nor a short-term commitment by our partners from Lane County who stepped in to really help us save this park. We had no model to do this before. It had never been the city's. We had never even attempted something of this type. So, yes, Commissioner, thank you.
And obviously the developer has a history in this particular area, rehabbing trailer mobile home parks, and I assume has a good reputation.
Very good reputation. And quite frankly, as I mentioned, we sought them out because of their their work, especially with low-income communities in Lane County, and their reputation in the nonprofit community. And they stepped up in a very big way to come to Portland and try to help these tenants and help us preserve this park. So I have great gratitude for St. Vincent de Paul and great respect for their work.
Yeah. And, I mean, I really don't want to minimize the expense, but I think it's important when we're looking at these numbers to not oversimplify it and only consider the per unit cost, because there are a lot of other expenses that went into this park, not just the individual units.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very good. Please call the roll.
Udaley.
Well, I share a lot of the frustrations in the room, and it sounds like those are also shared by the mayor and other commissioners, perhaps, as well as our new housing director. Congratulations, Director Callahan. It's a commitment that the city made over 2 years ago. It predates the mayor and I. It predates the current housing director. I think it's important to keep in mind we're housing 60 low-income individuals, and this was an anti-displacement effort. And I hope we will get it more right in the future. We've done a really poor job preventing or mitigating displacement during this lengthy, ongoing housing crisis, and this was a well-intentioned effort. This is also the worst kind of profiteering during a housing crisis. It's reprehensible to me that this landlord was not only allowed to raise rents when they were providing dangerous and substandard conditions, but was allowed to charge rents at all. And it just underscores how vital it is that we get our rental registration system up and running, and we start the mandatory rental inspections through BDS, which is one of the efforts that I hoped to begin during my tenure as the commissioner in charge of BDS. I'm going to strongly support policies in the future that harshly penalize landlords who are providing substandard housing. I'm gonna vote aye. It's with regrets, but we need to do this. We need to follow through on our promises and move forward and keep these 60 people housed. So aye.
Fritz.
When the Housing Commissioner made the decision to buy the Oakleaf in the previous mayoral administration, this room was packed upstairs and downstairs with people telling us to do it, including some of the people who are here in this chambers today. And it, as Commissioner Uday just said, when government promises something, we should keep our promise. And we have invested a lot of money in learning. I appreciate that there'll be an after-action report. Thanks to Living Cully, who did some interim work with the Oakleaf residents while a long-term owner and operator was located. Thank you very much to St. Vincent de Paul of Lane County for coming up to Portland and helping us learn from your experience. And thank you to the residents of the Oakleaf for their patience and engagement during this project. As Director Callahan said, not everybody does best in multifamily housing, and these homes and communities can be wonderful places for people to succeed, as we heard from the residents of the Oakleaf in 2016. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I share the frustration of my colleagues on this one, and it's clearly a close call. And I think what's been documented at the very least is a painful learning curve. We made a commitment. We're trying to use this as a sort of a living laboratory to understand better how we might save this critically important piece of the affordable housing spectrum. I think based on that commitment and based on the quality of our partner, it tips the scales in favor of moving forward, but we need to get it right going forward.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, as the housing commissioner who brought this proposal forward, you know, I think that none of us really thought the ownership model was going to pan out. And we were on the hook for $1.5 million. That was it. And the advocates were going to somehow come up with the rest of the money from the state or somewhere else. But it didn't pan out. And I think most of us at the time didn't think the ownership model was going to pan out. It's just not possible. But the dynamics are not going to change for other mobile home parks that come before this council. I think there will be others. We passed that overlay. Recall from the report, there's thousands of people, maybe 9,000 people, living in mobile home parks of questionable, both questionable ownerships in terms of predatory rents, but also just the conditions of the housing stock themselves. So this problem will not go away. So I think it's good that we've, you know, we're sort of truing up here on the oak leaf and really realizing that at the time we knew the 1.5 we thought was going to make this issue go away from our perspective didn't go away. And when we deal with the next mobile home park, we'll have better, accurate, more information about how much we're in it for. But as Commissioner Fritz just said, you know, these are real people. This housing is important to them. And it's important that we help them. And I'm sure we have learned our lessons around the next ones. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. So we